We're going to continue looking at the book of Haggai, so if you want to open the Pew Bible at Haggai chapter 2, page 948 of the Pew Bible, we can follow that on together. Last week we looked at working for the glory of God. So the people, the Jewish people, are brought back and God gives them this job of rebuilding and restoring the temple, not just so that there's some nice ancient monument there, but so that God would be glorified. So people are called to work for the glory of God. And if you follow the story through, they've started working. They've started rebuilding, restoring something of this beautiful temple, this magnificent temple. But now they're beginning to struggle. It's easy to become discouraged in life. It's easy to get down about things. Maybe life just hasn't worked out the way that we had thought it might have. We'd looked ahead in our own heads and we'd decided this is what's going to happen. This is how things are going to work out. And it hasn't quite worked out that way. The plans, the dreams, the ambitions, for some reason, they just didn't happen. And we become discouraged. Maybe you've been halfway through a job. I don't know. Decorating in the house. You get halfway through it and you think, why on earth did I ever start this? And you're tempted to give up. Or maybe it's much more serious. Maybe it's about that job which you thought would be just right, but it turned out to be a nightmare and you're stuck in it and you're discouraged. Maybe it's about a relationship that just hasn't worked out and we're discouraged. We've always enjoyed good health, but then age and maybe illness put an end to that. It's easy to become discouraged. We pray continually. But nothing seems to happen. We could become discouraged. We pray and work for revival within our own congregation, within the church, and it never seems quite to come, and discouragement can set in. There are lots and lots of different areas of our lives where discouragement is never too far away. Things just change, things don't work out, things aren't as we have planned, things aren't what we would have wanted, and we become so easily discouraged. Well, it looks as though the Jews of Haggai's day were becoming discouraged. Theirs was the job of restoring the temple. Solomon's temple, which was beautiful, magnificent. People would have come from all over just to see it, never mind to worship in it. Beautiful building. And these folks now have the job of restoring and rebuilding that. And Haggai asks them this question, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? Who here remembers what it used to be like? Who here remembers the good old days of the temple? Who's left that saw it in its former glory? Do you remember what it was like? Well, how does it look to you now? It's a building site. Does it not seem to you like nothing? Compared to what it was, is it not nothing? And you can imagine shoulders beginning to slump. You can imagine people setting down tools and thinking, nah, we'll just give up. It's not like it used to be. It's not like we thought it would be. The original temple, beautifully built, splendidly ornate, no expense was spared. You go back to 1 Kings chapter 5 through to 7, you can read something of that temple there. So Haggai asks, do you remember what the old temple was like? Doesn't look much like it now. Sometimes Discouragement comes from trying to live in the past. Comes from trying to live in what we called the good old days. I remember being in the company of two much older men as they discussed old times, and one of them said, "Oh yes, those were the good old days," and the other one said, "Aye, they were grand. We had rickets and malnutrition and all the rest of our great days." I said, "The good old days, whatever they are." These folks in Haggai's time looked back to the glory days of the temple, and they were tempted to give up when they realized that not only were things not the same as they had been, but the road ahead is going to be difficult. This is a hard job we've been given. Never going to be the same again, and this is going to be a difficult job. It's easy to become discouraged when we live in the past, when we live in what we think were the glory days, the good old days. Discouragement comes when we settle into a few wrong ways of thinking as well. One thing is, I deserve an easy life. I deserve to be comfortable in life. How many people may not say it, but that's what goes on in our heads. I deserve to have a comfortable, easy life. I deserve a better life than this. And so I don't want the hassle of building, rebuilding this temple, this awful job of rebuilding this temple. It's too hard. When it comes to us, surely I deserve an easier, more comfortable life. And when it doesn't happen, we get discouraged. We remember how it was in the past, so we imagine that that's God's going to do exactly the same thing as he did in the past. Building this temple, well, surely God's going to do exactly the same thing as he did in the past. God's going to behave just the way he always has in our lives. That's how we imagine. The other thing is that we want God to work to our timetable. I want it, and I want it now. Forgot that I had these up on the screen. I don't want this. I don't want the discomfort. I don't want the ups and downs of life. I want it done my way. I want it now. And when it doesn't happen according to our plans, when it doesn't turn out my way, when it doesn't happen in my timetable, then my temptation is to just drop the shoulders and become discouraged. Tempted to give up. That's what was happening with these folks. They looked around them, they realized the task in front of them was huge. Will we ever be able to rebuild this temple, really? Will it ever be the way it was? Surely God will rebuild it. Surely he'll do it now. And they became discouraged. And it's interesting, as Haggai speaks to them, he tells them to be strong. He starts with Zerubbabel, the governor, tells him to be strong. Joshua, the priest, be strong. Then all the people, be strong and work. And work, not because it's easy, not because it's necessarily what you would want or necessarily happening here and now, but work because I am with you. Work, for I am with you. Do not fear. Work, for I am with you. God had made covenant promises with his people. When he's bringing his people up out of Egypt, rescuing them from slavery there, he makes these wonderful promises again to them. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will be with you. And as you read the wanderings of the nation of Israel through the wilderness until they get to the promised land, that's worked out time and time and again. Time and time again, they have to be reminded that God is with them, God's leading them, God's guiding them. So quickly, we forget. God has made his promises, and he stays faithful to his promises. Just as his spirit was with them as they were led out of Egypt, so his spirit is with them now as they struggle to rebuild this temple. Isn't it interesting, these two things, I am with you and do not fear, just recur, that two phrases that recur again and again throughout Scripture. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Do not fear. Why? Because I'm with you. One of the big solutions to our discouragement is to remember that God is with us. So God is with them. Be strong. Work, for I am with you. But we need to remember there's a big difference between now and when the old temple was built. When Solomon built his temple, Solomon was one of the world's superpowers. Everything was available to him. There was nothing held back. Now the Jews have just been let go from exile. They're oppressed. They have no power, really. They have no kingdom. They have nothing. How on earth are we going to build a decent temple? How are we going to do it? And you can imagine them being discouraged as they looked at what they had and decided, this temple's not going to be up to much. This temple's not going to give God glory. So as you read verse 6 of this chapter, you realize God promises to order international events so that his will is done. He simply says, I will give the world a good shake, verse 6. I'm going to shake this world so that the order you see around you will not get in the way of my plan, of my purposes. God will shake this world to make the rebuilding possible. People had taken their eyes off God. They looked at the job, decided that the job in front of them was too difficult, therefore we can't do it. They needed to lift their eyes to the God who said, listen, I know things don't look great, but I'm going to shake this world so that my purposes are fulfilled. Often when we're discouraged, we look at our problems. We become people who are focused and centered on our difficulties, our problems, and we forget to lift our eyes and focus on the God who is faithful. The world-shaking God. Let me read to you a couple of verses from the book of Hebrews, which talks about this shaking. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the remaining of what can be shaken, removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. When God shakes, the things that are created, the things that are temporary, are knocked out of place, and his kingdom remains unshakable. We look around us, we decide, God could never work this out. When God shakes this world, his kingdom remains. And God's committed to a great shaking, both to this nation trying to rebuild a temple and to this broken world. And he simply says, I will fill this house with glory, verse 7. That's what the temple was for. It wasn't just to be a beautiful building that people would come and admire. It was to be the place where God's glory was revealed. And as people wondered about, we'll never be able to replace this old temple, God says, I will fill it with glory. I will fill it with glory. The glory of this present house, verse 9, will be greater than the glory of the former house. You thought the glory of that old temple was great. Wait till you see what I've got in store for you. The glory of the new one will be even greater. God has always intended for his glory to be seen. The psalmist says that when we look at the heavens, when we look at the world around us, we see something of the glory of God. The world around us reveals something of that. There was another temple built, this one, and then the next temple, the one that Herod built, which was spectacular, but there was more to come. The promise of the greater glory comes in Jesus. who dwelt among us, tabernacled amongst us, built his temple amongst us. Again, the writer to the Hebrews simply says, Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory. If you want to see something of the radiance of God's glory, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. So as these people were faced with discouragement, they needed to lift their eyes and remember who and what God was. They needed to remember his promises. They needed to remember his faithfulness. The same is true for us. In those times, those situations when we are tempted just to give up, remember who God is. Remember how faithful he is. We need also to trust in the God who can do immeasurably more than we can either ask or imagine. Now, we struggle in understanding that. You can't ask or imagine what God can do for you. The Bible says God can do immeasurably more than you can either ask or imagine. Whether it's in building an old temple or whether it's in living the life that God has called you to, he can do immeasurably more than you can ever ask or imagine. We need to trust in the God who reminds us that we can do all things through Christ, who gives us strength. When we feel, I just don't have the energy to keep going in this, I don't have the strength to keep on with this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We need to trust in the God who calls us not to be afraid because he is with us. The promise of Jesus is, I will build my church. Doesn't mean that we're not part of it. But Jesus' purpose is to build his church, put together his people, build this temple so that God is glorified in us. That's what he's about. It's not primarily our job. We're called to be part of it. But the promise of Jesus is, I will build it. The God who can do immeasurably more than we can either ask or imagine. The God who reminds us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The God who calls us not to be afraid because he is with us, building his church. And the wonderful thing is that he calls us to be part of that building. As we remember and acknowledge that we are sinful people in need of a Savior, as we believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for my sin so that I can be brought into this new temple of God's people, as we commit ourselves into living and working for him, we're part of that building, part of his glory. May God give us the grace to hear again his words, work, for I am with you. Do not fear. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, you know us. You know the things that get us down. You know the things which tempt us, Lord, to give up. And so we ask that as we remember those things, you would help us to lift our eyes, to remember who and what you are, to recall your faithfulness to us in Jesus. And then, Lord, to work for you, for your glory, and the good of your people. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.